is Not Often Heard with Gary Taylor and Mark Stockley.
Hello and welcome to Not Often Heard, the podcast, and this is Mellow Pod number 5. My name is Gary.
My name is Mark.
And we are here to guide you through the Swedish selection for their Eurovision entry, which is Melodifestivalen, which is the biggest show in Sweden of the year.
It is, isn't it? It's probably the biggest, except from the actual final from Eurovision.
Yes, I believe so. It has something like 70-odd% of the viewing audience tunes into Melfest on Saturday night. And we have hit round number 5, which is Andra Johansson, or second chance round.
Mm-hmm. I did keep a bit of a tally about of the bits when I didn't skip in between the kind of like the acts. I did keep a bit of a tally of how many times the host said Andra Johansson. It was a lot.
Just to remind people, second chance, guys, second chance. And this was especially extended Melfest edition because we had an extra 20-odd minutes or so, thanks to the inaugural Hall of Fame for Melfest that was introduced this year.
Yes.
We'll talk a bit more about that after we've gone through the songs. So the format of this show is that songs are paired up and face off in duels, so they can reuse the same telephone numbers, basically, I think. And the winner of each duel bags one of the final 4 spots available in the Melfest final, which will happen in Stockholm next week. Now, my first problem is the way the duels are constructed. So we have 8 songs, and the way they pair them up is that you are not allowed to be paired against a song that was in the same semi as you.
That's logical.
I
think that would be illogical if you could, because if you came third and the other person came fourth, you'd be thinking, well, I've won this anyway. And if you were the person that came fourth, you'd be like, what's the point?
Yeah, there's no point in me coming here. The second rule they have is that if you are a song that placed third in your heat, you cannot face off against any other song that placed third in their heat. So you would have face off against a fourth placer. I guess there's some logic towards that, perhaps, in that they don't want to pair two songs that were more popular than others in their heats against each other.
I suppose so. I think that must be it. But again, you might end up, if you're the artist that came fourth in your heat, you might be sitting there thinking, well, they came third, you know. Mm. And chances are, I can't imagine there being huge differences in the votes that were cast each week, to be perfectly honest.
That's true. So it does feel like they were pairing a stronger song with a slightly weaker song in each one.
Yeah.
Maybe to get some kind of balance, I don't know, or maybe just to almost, I'm not saying rig it, but it implies that the songs that came third in the heats anyway end up bagging the spots.
Yes.
Because of the way the duels are run. But anyway, on to our first duel. So we had Anis Domina, or Domina, don't know. I can never know how to pronounce it. I need to pay attention. With Vem I Som Us. And he's the big guy in the crushed purple velvet tracksuit, who I still think he's, you know, cosplaying as John Pertwee slightly. If John Pertwee had had a lot of cheese and wine. It's a fun song.
It is a fun song. When we saw it in the heat a few weeks ago, we didn't have subtitles on, so we didn't know the translation. But the translation is something like, who's like us?
Mm.
Which I kind of liked, actually.
Yeah, I like the message. It's a very bouncy song. He doesn't do a lot of singing. To be honest, it's more rapping on his part.
Yeah.
And I feel his backing track is doing the heavy lifting on the more melodical parts of the song on the chorus, shall we say.
Another thing with having the translation on is he does drop a few swears in there.
Yes, I noticed that. Potty mouth.
Yeah.
So he was facing off against Ellen Benediktsson and Simon Peyron with Surface, who I really liked. I think you quite liked as well.
Yeah, I thought they were really good. not my favourite acts by any means, but yeah, they were a decent song, decent couple.
Yeah, and Ellen had a cold last week when she was competing in the semi, so she felt this week that she really had to kind of go for it because she was back to full strength.
Right,
and she absolutely delivered. I thought she delivered last week, so this week she knocked it out of the park. Really good performance from both of them. Mm-hmm. I love the intensity and the harmonies, as I said last time. And do you remember on the podcast last week, the pairings had been released, and mm-hmm. I was like, well. Surely Ellen and Simon are going to walk this one.
They've Anis got that in their bag.
Well, this is easy. They've obviously been paired with Anis to give them a free pass. How wrong was I?
Very.
So Anis is the winner of that duel. And I suppose I had not paid enough attention to what was happening on Spotify in the Swedish charts. Because Anis is actually the highest charting entry across those platforms out of all 28.
Yeah.
Oof. Which is amazing.
I did the joke with Silent Social Media Bob and said that, these artists should worry if Gary likes their tracks.
It's a curse. I'm like Sutek's touch of kiss of death or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So a big disappointment for me when Ellen and Simon failed to win their battle. Anis goes through to the final, and he's actually closing the show. He's song number 12 next week.
Yes, yes.
So yeah. I can see why. It's a big party, happy song, and they want to go out on a high. Our next battle then was Malu Pritz with Ballerina versus Paul Ray, Talking in My Sleep. Now, did you have a preference on these two?
Not a huge amount. Both of the songs had grown on me from when I'd heard them in their heats. I thought both of them had quite catchy tunes. So I didn't really have a massive preference here. Mm. But I hate, and I can't stress this enough, I hate the outfit that Malu Pritz was wearing.
It's the same one, isn't it?
It's horrible.
Yeah, we talked about that in her heat. So if you want the full... the full deconstruction of that outfit and how much we hate it, please do listen to that episode. it was pretty much the same. I didn't really notice any significant differences in the staging or the performance. I thought Malu was a little bit stronger vocally on this performance, so she kind of upped her game on that. And I think you're absolutely right. The second chance round absolutely works in the sense that it makes you reappraise these songs after you've heard the full set of 28.
Mm.
Because you do look back and go, you know what? That's not half bad considering some of the dross that we heard after it.
Yeah.
To be honest. And so I feel the same. There were some songs that upon second listen, I'm seeing the staging tweaked or the vocals slightly improved. I thought, you know what? I like that one now. I dismissed it too easily. Paul Ray... it's a standard male mid-tempo ballady song. The Tenor Penny, we have them everywhere from all kinds of countries now for Eurovision. Doesn't stick out for me.
I thought the tune was quite catchy. I don't think it's going to do the business next week.
Me neither. Our third duel, it was Felix Sandman, Boys With Emotions versus Frida Urn, We Are One. And have you ever seen a better example of a walkover?
I know. All I can say about Felix Hammond is no. It does nothing for me. It leaves me cold. I like the sentiment, but the song itself, I think, is just awful. I'm so sorry, but I think it's awful.
For me, I can see why, because it skews younger than Frida's song does. The demographic is younger. It's very radio friendly. It's very current. I think you would see it in charts across the UK and Europe actually as well. That's why it was always going to be him. I think he's incredibly popular anyway. It is catchy. He's got a nice kind of beat behind it. I like that bit. The sentiment of the song as well, Boys With Emotions. I get the message.
Yeah,
it's a good message.
I think it's a great message. I feel really sorry for Frida, because I think you could tell straight away the look on her face. She was just like, well, you know, I think you said earlier, I'm here for the free drinks and nibbles.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, she did have a look of resignation on her face.
Yeah.
I know I'm not going to win this. And yes, it's an older artist with an older fashion song, you could say.
Yeah.
It was bouncy. It's poppy. She's still got that tacky Christmas garland curtain thingy.
Yeah, I think they really needed to go all out with the staging. I think they needed a bit more of a spectacle. It might have stuck out with people a bit better than that Poundland Christmas curtain thing.
Interesting you talk about the staging, because I was reading an entry on the escinsight.com website about the technical aspect of the staging for Melfest this year. And I actually hadn't noticed that they've replaced the LED screens at the back with curtains.
Oh.
So if you go look back at some of the videos, what they've done is they've got, I think they said it was something like 35 meters of curtain behind them, stretching right across the stage.
That's a lot of fabric.
And they have these kind of brand new projectors that have come out that are very short throw, in the sense that, you know, normally if you want a big image, you've got to put a projector right the way back, haven't you, to project
Big. Yeah.
Well, this is a new type of projector which you can actually place quite close to the surface you're projecting against. They're compact, they've got a short throw on them, but they give a big image. So all the graphics are actually projected onto a big curtain at the back now through a series of projectors.
Oh, okay.
And when you look, you can actually see the kind of texture of the curtain. But when you pull back, you don't notice it. It looks amazing. You know, it looks like a complete LED type screen and you don't see the curvature.
Oh.
But the reason I mentioned that is because of that meant that you can't do your kind of pyro curtain type effects at the back.
No. Because it might catch fire.
And it also messes up the projection as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yes. It's a massive fire hazard. So it does limit, if you have pyros, they have to be front stage rather than the back, towards the back of the stage.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. So that's a bit about how the staging is going. And also, for practical reason, it really helps them, because if you've got these huge set pieces like Anis has with that massive kind of magazine cover, they have to be wheeled on from the left or the right of the stage, and that can be quite tight space-wise. Using curtains allows them to chuck everything at the back. You open the curtains, wheel it all out, set it going, shut the curtains again, and then do the reverse when you're finished. So it's better in terms of getting props on and off as well. So, sorry, we sidetracked into geeky technical talk about the stage. I just thought it was really interesting that's kind of the future, and we actually might see that creeping through to Eurovision and to other national finals now as the technology develops and we go to projection rather than LED.
That will definitely happen.
Our last duel was Mendes featuring Alvaro Estrella, Vamos Amigos, and Drengana, Piga o Dreng.
Which is boy and girl.
Yes. And to be honest, I really couldn't give a monkey's who won that one.
You said I couldn't give it. Bleep.
I'm trying to censor myself.
Yeah.
I didn't particularly like either of them. Mendes is a typical Latin party type song.
Yeah.
And you've got Drengana with very, very country pop, which I don't like.
No, you really don't, do you?
I really don't. Mendes is, I don't think he's very good vocally. On YouTube, there is somebody on his last performance in Melfest a couple of years back. There's a video where somebody isolated his mic. Oh, my goodness.
Oh dear. Oof.
Thank goodness for backing tracks is all I'm saying. So did you have a preference on those two?
I did prefer the Mendes featuring Alvaro Estrella. But again, I wasn't massively fussed either way. But I think we've said, haven't we, that country pop is already represented really with
Anna Bergendahl.
Yeah. So I don't think we needed another one, really.
No, not necessarily. So, no surprise there, really. I'm surprised that they haven't been picked to go last, to be honest. I thought it's, you know, a proper good party song, more of a party song than Anis is.
Yeah.
But they're actually halfway through. They're slot six in the final.
I was just going to say, do they do them all Do they decide the running order? It's not randomised.
No, it is
for the final.
It's engineered to produce a good, entertaining show, so you have your peaks and your slumps.
Yeah, like obviously, like the final.
Just like Eurovision itself. It is choreographed, shall we say? Mm-hmm. So our running order. Actually, I'll quickly run through it. We've got opening is Victor Crone, Troubled Waters, then Paul Ray, Talking in My Sleep, The Mamas, Move, Mohombi, Winners, Hannah Firm, Brave, Mendez is sixth. Daughter with Bulletproof is 7, and she's the favourite, I believe, at the moment.
Okay.
Robin Bengtson, Take a Chance. Mariette, Shout It Out. Felix Salmon, Boys with Emotions. Anna Bernadar, Kingdom Come, and then Annis goes last.
Right.
So, okay. Yeah, I don't know if I would have put Victor up first, to be honest.
No.
Maybe the Mamas.
Yeah.
Just because it's a proper banging tune to get everybody whipped up. But I'm not Christy Bjorkman. I don't get to decide these things. So the other half, they were then after they'd done those duels, they decided they were going to wait until the end of them reveal who was going to win, who's won the final slots. Because in the past, I think they'd done the duels and then very quickly announced who'd won it, who'd won the pairing after each one. Slightly different tactic. We had to wait till the end. And they decided to make us wait the best part of an hour because they wanted to do the Melfest Hall of Fame. And the reason it took so long is because this is its first year. And I believe there was something like 48 artists or items.
Yeah, inducting them all in. Like they were like artists and songwriters. And even didn't they have even like people from backstage and stuff like that?
Yeah, a conductor
as
well. So you're absolutely right. It covered a whole range of things. The winners get automatically inducted and the rest all have to be a moment or something that's at least 10 years old because of the whole, well, has it kind of stayed in the public consciousness? If after 10 years, people go, oh yeah, I remember that time in Melfest.
Yeah.
It's a worthy entrant. So we had lots of different things, as you said. We had lots of old stars wheeled out. Nana was there, Linda Bengtzing was there, and we're not allowed to sing. What? How dare they?
I did like the little clip they showed from the James Corden Late Late Show.
Yes.
About discussing carpool karaoke.
Yes, apparently James Corden has finally been made aware of this song, even though I'm like, why was he not made aware of it in January when it was announced?
Yeah.
And he loves it. He says, it's brilliant. I think she's great. And he's invited her to do carpool karaoke with him, whether that's going to be over in Sweden or over in the US or what. But she said on the show, absolutely, I am up for that. wherever you want, we'll do it. I thought it was a great moment.
Yeah.
We had Mons showing up again.
Again.
I've said it before. He's the ex-boyfriend who you just can't get rid of because the family keep inviting him for stuff. Hello, Mons. Yes, of course. Well, he was being inducted as a winner. Yes, we get it. It's fine. And he did a duet with Lil Landfors, who was one of the participants from the very early days. And she also presented Eurovision in 85 when it was in Sweden. She's the one that in the clips where her dress falls off as she's walking. But it's just a clever ruse. Fine. So they sang a rather old-fashioned song from the 50s where she talked about wanting to bang his saucepan or something. That's what the translation said.
Is that euphemism?
I don't know. That's what the translation said. we had medleys and stuff like that. We saw lots of acts coming back, including Thomas Ledin doing a medley of some of the late 70s, early 80s songs with Bjorn Hvifs. And every time they said Bjorn Hvifs, in my head I'm going, does he? And I'm incredibly childish. I just find Bjorn Hvifs incredibly funny. So every time you hear it now, you're going to think that.
Yeah.
Start laughing to yourself. But the highlight for me, in a way, was Loreen doing a mashup, shall we say, of her three Melfest songs, which is My Heart Is Refusing Me, Euphoria, obviously, and Statements, which failed to qualify for the final a few years back.
I know you're going to talk about something else in a moment, but I feel like it was a terrible performance. I just sat there and I think, Who does she? Does she think she's Madonna?
I know.
As I kept saying, she's not Madonna.
I know. Do you think?
Don't try to be Madonna.
I just wonder if they said to her, "Will you come on and do the Hall of Fame thing?" She went, "Yes, but only if I can do my art, darling."
Yes.
Like, can you not just stand there and sing Euphoria, please?
Exactly. But the crowd, you could tell the crowd were annoyed because they were quiet during the performance.
Yeah, there's no shouting, really.
No, if she'd have gone on and done Euphoria like it should be done, the crowd would have gone wild.
And at first, I didn't really know what she was doing because it started off and I'm like, oh, she's doing My Heart's Refusing Me. And I went, oh, no, that's a bit from Euphoria. That's a bit from Statement. What is this? And she kind of just put all the songs into a blender and just turboed it up and then just, you know, was spitting out whatever was produced while throwing herself around the stage. And that stage must have been damn cold. Because as soon as we got a close-up of her, I was like, can you see her nipple? Is that... You can see her nipples.
She had, yeah, her nipples were quite erect. It was quite obtrusive.
Once you've seen it, you're like, it's distracting now. I don't want to see that. Can we not have used some padding or something? Was she okay with that? Nobody told her. It's like, you know, when you've got a piece of toilet paper on your shoe or some coin, you know, you've left your shirt untucked or something, or your collar's up. You'd hope somebody would tell you.
Yeah.
Why is everybody just going, don't mention it, don't mention it. Or maybe it's part of the performance.
She might not go on.
So I enjoyed elements of it, I would say, because I listened to a lot of historical Melfest songs, so I was familiar with a good chunk of what was performed.
Yeah.
So it was entertaining going back through the history of the contest and seeing some of those performers again. But an hour. The general feeling from the international fans on Twitter, I was looking at the feed, was pretty much, are we done now? Can we crack on, please?
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a shame, but it won't be like that next year because now it's up and running. It's only going to be 6 new entrants into the Hall of Fame each year.
Yeah.
So don't worry, we will not have to do this again. Don't panic. So we are ready for our final in Stockholm next week. Are you excited?
I am, actually. I think there are some good songs in there, and I'm looking to see how they all get on. I've got a couple of favourites.
Yeah, some songs that have grown on me. I'm putting my... I'm not going to say money, but my hope would be the Mamas could do it.
I think Hannah will. Firm for me. Hannah Firm for me. And Brave. I really like that.
Maybe. I think I would love the Mamas to get it, but I don't think they will. But I hope they get every success off the back of it. We shall be back next time with the final Mellow Pod for 2020, where we will deconstruct the final and all the events. I only hope it doesn't go as badly as the Icelandic final did.
Oh, dear.
Where we had people singing out of tune with backing tracks, out of time, sorry, with the backing tracks due to technical issues. 10-minute gaps where the hosts just have to fill and talk and get
shoved. Bring out dogs.
Bring out a Bichon Frise just because we need to fill airtime and we can't go to commercial yet. Wheel on Hatari, who do the most I can't be arsed interview ever. Oh, and not only that, they managed to insult Kano by not pressing play on their backing track and leaving them standing there like lemons for a good 30 seconds.
Tut, tut.
It was eventful, let's say that. So do join us for the final Mellow Pod of the series, where we will deconstruct the grand final. Until then, it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.